Record, did you hear that? Recording in progress?
Yes.
Good. All right. Florida, this is the Florida Go to God First Fellowship with Miss Brenda Patterson and me, Van Patterson, as your host. And I'm going to let Brenda go first. She is getting ready to travel up to South Carolina. And so she's staying about 40 minutes away so she can get a quicker start out of the state and head north to see her great grandson. So, sweetheart, take it away.
Well, God bless and good evening to you. We have been getting some much needed rain here in Florida. It's been very dry and just so thankful to God for the rain. You never know what you miss until it's gone. So, just so thankful. You know, and it reminds me of the scripture that says, for as the rain falls and the snow from heaven and waters the earth and makes it forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but will accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing which I sent it. And so I think my own interpretation is that it comes down to confessions, and making great confessions, good confessions, you know, not to, speak curses over your life, so to speak. Some people do not realize at all. I'm sorry. I'm just yawning. I don't know why. It's not past my bedtime, but, you know, some people just do not realize that, you know, out of your mouth, either there's blessings or cursings. And even though the Bible talks about it, I think there are a lot of people that really don't pay much attention to it. So that is, you know, something that we have to be aware of. You know, it's so easy to get consumed, to get caught up in, you know, the things that are going on every day. You may listen to the news, and you may, either, hear something negative or, you run into somebody and they've got something negative to say. But, you know, out of our mouth should be blessings, and we should be, you know, confident and bold, and we just need to be more mindful of what we say. You know, I have been married to Van since October the 23rd, and it has been a learning experience because before that, we didn't live together. I lived here at my place in Green Cove, and he lived there at his place in St. Augustine. So it has been, I say the word interesting, because it has, you know, it's a lot to mesh your life with somebody else's. Because that person in the afternoons when you're home together, that person is around you all the time. And so you have to think about, you know, what you're saying, what you're doing, you know, the confessions that you make. It has been, the last couple of days have been, you know, kind of hard on me. And, there are things going on that are beyond my control, but I have just got to be more mindful as to what comes out of my mouth. So, you know, that is one of the main things that, has dawned on me today, you know, about, speaking positives and, not, you know, the negatives. And, I was talking to somebody today and I was telling them, well, actually it was my granddaughter, Alicia, and I was telling her that I love to go to the Psalms. When you think about what David went through, what he witnessed, what he, you know, he was always looking over his shoulder because King Saul wanted to kill him. And he was jealous and, he was very upset that, David was the anointed one. So, Van and I have been watching that series, which we finished the second one, the second series. And, you know, we're hoping there definitely is a third one. There are, well, apparently, I mean, I read things in the Bible, but I never knew that King Saul went to what we could, would consider a monastery. You know, priest, and because they gave David assistance, he had them all murdered. Now, he personally didn't shed the blood, nor his men, because they refused. But there was another guy who was not, of any of the tribes. And, he actually carried out the killings of the priest. And when I watched it, I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to go back and do a fact check. So, when I read it, I was kind of in awe, like, what was David thinking? Not like, what was David thinking? What was going through his head, knowing that at every turn, there could be people conspiring against him. The men that were loyal to him, they were definitely loyal. But the people who followed King Saul, they seemed more interested in, taking care of what King Saul wanted and not so much what they knew was right and wrong. So that right there was a real eye-opener for me. And in life, we have choices. We either choose to do the right thing or we choose to do the wrong thing. There are times when we need to put a guard over our mouth. There are times when I'm just like, I can't remember my mom ever saying this, but I listen to some parents say that to their kids, zip it. And so, my mom never did that. She never said zip it. She would just look at you and you knew by that look on her face that she did not want to hear anything that came out of your mouth. So, I have to think about, how God looks at us as his children. Is he disappointed? Is he ashamed? I want to say that Van, I can't remember if it was Van, was it you and I that were talking about Abraham?
Yeah.
And for like 15 years, he didn't hear anything from God because of God's displeasure in what he was doing,
Yeah.
because he had taken matters into his own hands.
He hearkened into his wife.
He hearkened into his wife, which you tell me, never hearken into your wife. Don't
Yes, brother.
hearken.
Well, I mean, it's through the Bible like 15 times, probably. I
Yeah,
don't know
yeah,
exactly, but.
yeah. Don't hearken to your wife. Because of course he hearkened to Sarah, and he went in and had sex with their servant, and she got pregnant. And me, I'm just kind of thinking to myself, I don't think I would tell Van to go have sex with someone, and so that person could get pregnant and have a baby. I don't know what she was thinking. So, I have no idea. If she was trying to, if she was questioning God, if she, felt like what they heard was a mistake, she was getting older, she wanted to have a baby, but once, Hagar had a baby, then she wanted them to, I think she had her husband send them off, and so they could die. And I'm sorry, but sometimes I think about things like that, and I'm thinking this may not have been the child that he would have wanted with Sarah, but this was still his child. But he seemed to just go along with, okay, we'll just, I send him off into the desert, and they can die. So some of the things that you read in the Bible are kind of harsh, and you do think about them and wonder about them. I know I do. I know that God is a good, good God. And it talks in the Bible about only good things come from God. If a child asks for a piece of bread, do you give them a serpent? And so you think about that, but most of us, love our children and we want what's best for our children. But then there are people who, don't care about their children. They just are bad parents. They don't care about their children. They don't think about their futures and, what's best for them. But, anyway, those are just the things that have been on my heart. We've been watching a series, and it's with a boxer, and he is actually a gypsy, and he refers it to himself as the Gypsy King, and that is. They're called the Travelers. And actually, when I head to South Carolina, right when I get almost into, well, actually, I cross over into South Carolina. There's Augusta and then North Augusta. There is a group of what they consider gypsies there. And, they live in beautiful homes and, I mean, I've never gone up and knocked on the door and said, well, what do you do for a living here? You hear a lot of things about, they flim-flam people, they scheme and, whatever, but I don't have any idea about that because I don't know any of them personally,
That's
but
the Irish group.
yes, the Irish group. Yeah. And so,
Because Lawrence recommended watching Tyson Fury
yeah,
with his
Tyson Fury.
wife.
Right. Right.
Yep.
And so, we've been watching that series and it's quite an eye-opener. I guess the guy, he suffers from ADD, attention deficit disorder and bipolar, and you can see a lot of that in the choices that he makes. But anyway, that is really about all I have to share. But good evening and God
Okay.
bless.
All right, sweetheart, I'm gonna let you go. I get answers for everything
Of
from
course
God.
you do. Yes.
There's not much I don't know.
Yes, Master. Yeah, that is true.
you're welcome,
Yes,
sweetheart.
Lord. Yes.
Ephesians 5, there we go. It's what we
Yes.
want. Yeah.
Yes.
And so, like that, those names, those are just names man gives them. Bipolar. All that. We all know as we're watching the series, it's spiritual.
Oh,
Everything that's going
definitely.
on is all spiritual.
Right.
So, and Hagar, I can answer that one too later.
Yeah, because Hagar. She didn't believe in the one true God, did she?
Absolutely.
She did believe in the
Yeah.
one true God.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, her emotions, as a woman, she had an amazing, desire to have a child. And instead of waiting patiently, like the promise for the promise, she decided to go ahead and step it up a little bit and sent her husband in there. He made the mistake of listening. Not that when God says do not hearken, he doesn't mean don't listen to some wise counsel that your wives give you, because like behind Lawrence, Kim is an amazing wise counsel to him, I'm sure. Behind Danny, Amber is a wise counsel. We're just in these roles right now. You have the same spirit of God as I do. You can operate all nine manifestations that I can. And we're both on a growth pattern that I can show you some things, but God has to show you a lot of the things spiritually. But anyway, we'll let that go for now. I will check it. I'll check it with you later when you hit the rack. I'm going to be watching hockey. You're watching that. So love you. And I'm going to let her rip now. All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Love you, sweetie. Bye. All right. So I am going to, I forgot that my dog is outside and she's barking. I'm going to go get her and bring her in. Thank you for your patience for everybody out here. It's me, God, Branda, and the rest of the travelers that are on their way. Not travelers. We don't want, well, we want travelers because we're all enemies of the cross of Christ at one point. So we want laborers. So hang on one sec. I got three animals watching me, figuring out what I'm doing. Okay. And what I was thinking about was, I'll go a little bit off of because I didn't know she was going to go that direction. But when that, thalipsis and ellipsis, I forget the two, or terrazzo and thalipsis, when that teaching came out, the external pressure and the internal pressure. So currently I would say both of us are going through that. I don't want to speak for her, but me, I can speak for myself. And so what I'm doing is I'm going through that growth period, and it's a continued growth. You have to be humble. You have to be meek. You're going to make mistakes, but you have to be easy on yourself. You have to be loving, kind, and tender. You have to pick yourself up. You have to not give up. You got to practice the principles that we've been taught, or the practice the yeah practice the principles that we that the five principles that we've been taught, which are huge in your life when you do that. I mean, the grace of God is amazing. We don't want to abuse it, but the grace of God is just amazing. So as we practice these things, you can grow through these things. So the pressure that he was talking about, that God showed Lawrence to put a sharing together, was on terrazzo. So that comes from it. For me, anyway, this is how I picked it up. It comes from internal, and it comes from patterns in my life that I've been living for years, and grooves in my brain that are actually there that need to be ungrooved, for lack of a better word. And so as you get them ungrooved, they're challenging. Now you can by your free will decide you're going to continue in those grooves, or it takes longer sometimes to break free of those than it normally would. And that's the instance in my life with these patterns. But I am breaking through them. I can see it. The external ones, I think it was thalipsis. I forget the word that he, that was that the Greek the word you used, but doesn't matter. It is external pressure and internal pressure. I'm sure Jesus Christ had to go through all of it, which gives me great comfort, because I realize that he's the complete savior. That's what's really helped me with the internal part, knowing that he has gone through that, speaking in tongues. Now, obviously he didn't. I'm able to speak in tongues and change my thinking, which he did. He changed his thinking. He followed the law and became the complete savior. I mean, that's a short version. I mean, but we know through the record that God has written down for us, or had written down, has written down for us, of the extreme pressure that he went through. I mean, just look at the garden when he was there. He had the chance to say, "Hey, I'm out of here. Pick somebody else. Okay, this is too much." But he didn't, because he said in Isaiah, it was prophesied, he set his jaw like a flint. He wasn't going to give up. And that's what he did. So there's where I'm at right now. On the external part, when those come, and they come from situations, circumstances, things you let in, like the news or current events or anything like that, or other people, other people's drama, or other people's issues, and you want to help them, it's nice, but you need to, for me anyway, I need to ask God, should I help them? Like, I remember when David and the group of men that he was with went out, and they were coming back from a war, or from a skirmish, or whatever you want to call it. And because everything then was up close and personal. It wasn't like today, where you fire a weapon and you don't even see the guy. Everything's up close and personal back then. But he was coming back, and then when he came back to the camp, and all the women and children had been taken by this one group. I forget which group it was. And all the men that were with him, I'm positive, wanted to go after their wives and children. David paused, because remember now, David is a type of Christ. So David paused, and he asked God, "Should I go after them?" Now, what if he would have got no, don't go after them? He would have had to. He would have followed our father's will, and not gone after him. Or he and then whatever would have happened. But thankfully, he got the word from God to go after them, and he went after them. And I'm making a long story short, and I'm forgetting exactly where it is, because it just came from me, because I know it's from God. He went after him because he listened to God, and he asked first. He paused instead of going off emotion. Can you imagine the emotion there? Think about your own family. Your own family gets taken. Your own family gets taken by a group, and your first instinct is you're going after it. Well, David, without asking anybody, you'd forget about asking the Heavenly Father. You just go now. But David is a type of Christ, so he literally asked God, "Should I go after him?" Of course, he went after him, and God provided the victory. Just David and his men went. They had to do the physical work at the time to get him back, and not one single one of them, and I think even some animals, were okay. Okay, so that's our God. If you think of all these records that are in there, of that, there was one time where, like, Brandon was saying that we're watching the House of David, where we finished it, second season. And in God's word, just like in the series, but in God's word, Saul asked him to do something crazy, because he wanted him to get killed. He wanted him to get 200 foreskins off these guys, and bring them back, or 100. David ended up bringing back 200, and it surprised Saul, because obviously God was with David, and he was able to fulfill that mission that he gave him. But he didn't send him on the mission to get it completed. He sent him on the mission so that he would fail. So anyway, those are some of the things. And then I was thinking today about the external, and there's always things going on, it seems like, where it's one drama after the next, or one outside pressure, outside distraction. Doesn't matter where they're from, it doesn't matter how they got to be. It's all designed to get you churned up on the inside. So whether it comes from the outside, or and then also from the outside, it's designed to kill you. Obviously, also, it can be. The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's just remember that. On the inside, the same thing. When you're agitated and churned up, because that's what God was showing Lawrence that word meant about the inside pressure. Our bodies are filled with water. So when you're agitated and aggravated and bothered and troubled in the mind, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Okay. It has to do something to you physically when you're troubled. So it is calm as we can stay, the best that's what our Father's telling us. All the angels that would appear would say, fear not. They would say, fear not. Jesus Christ said, let your heart not be troubled. So those are some of the things I was thinking about. And I've got some more stuff on it that, again, all this knowledge of it is good, but putting it into practice is the key. Okay, so I have to put all this into practice. And so as I put it into practice, I'll bring more of it back that I've learned or that God has shown me. And if it helps anybody here, then fantastic. I'm being a little bit selfish and I'm going for the gold here, or at least trying to, because I'm not, I don't, th there's no time to waste. Time is of the essence. God says all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of him. So I haven't spoken to a lot of people about God. I haven't felt led to speak to a lot of people about God. It just hasn't come up. Now I'll mention it once in a while, but I'm waiting for my Father to go ahead and say, hey, go ahead and speak to this person or whatever. And normally I speak to a lot of people, but what I'm trying to do is trying to stay putting a guard over my mouth, as Brandon was saying, putting a guard over my mouth. I forget how she said it. She was saying some parents say zip it, or something like that. Yeah, she said zip it. I remember saying that to Gabriella. Hell, I say that to her still now. I say, hey, zip it, young lady. So I might give her a call and tell her to zip it just as a joke in a couple of minutes. But anyway, our Father, he wants to hear from us. He wants to have fellowship with us. And we can't get any closer, okay, to him, because it is God in Christ and Van, God in Christ and Branda. There is no more closer to him. Although we see through a glass darkly, that's just because if we saw all the spiritual stuff going on, it would be like Halloween times a million. So we don't see all that stuff because we have God's angels and God's protection and God's guidance, a hedge around us. I mean, it is amazing when you think about how much God loves us and cares for us and desires us to fulfill and walk into the completed work of Christ Jesus. There's nothing we have to do except for have a desire with our free will to learn and to take action into that walk, whatever that walk might be, like the five principles that Sanjay or God has showed Sanjay showed Lawrence, however that went, and those five principles. Obviously, there's there's I don't really know at this time, this moment, but what you sow is what you reap, so like Brenda was talking about how what comes out of our mouths, confessions. So you're confessing good apples and you're going to get good apples. You confess bad apples, you're going to get bad apples. You sow certain things in your life, there's where your life is. So it's a hard look for me specifically. It's a hard look sometimes to see where I'm at and not condemn myself, although I've learned to do my best in not condemning myself, because that not condemning yourself in Romans, it's way greater than just not saying, okay, Van, you messed up. It has a greater spiritual meaning. Like, we're not condemned, period, in the sense ever. We're justified. We're holy. There's no blame. There's nothing. There's nothing there's nothing that we need to do. If somebody gets born again, they could just stay born again and stay right where they're at, and just be born again. Well, but there's other these all these other promises in there. And that one promise that keeps coming up for me is living the more than abundant life. It says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Well, that's what I am going for. That's what I am living, the more than abundant life. And it's exciting. I'm excited to see what pops up and what information that God gives to me through the man of God, through Lawrence, on my one-on-ones when I'm up there. I'm not gonna, tell, my wife to do a one-on-one. That's between her and God. See, I've ceased from my own work, although we were just joking about, I joke with her like, I know everything. So anyway, our Father's good and he's a good God. So I showed her a couple verses though that I'm working on with her. One of them is with Abraham, which is a really good one, which bleeds over into Ephesians 5, which is the body of Christ. And that's what we all are. So all of us all in here are practicing, praying for one another, loving one another. We're going to get a chance to hug one another in South Carolina, which is going to just be great. I want to thank Sakina and Mary for putting all this together. And Sakina, with your hard work and along with your family and your job, I know as a woman, I see what Brenda does. I mean, she's constantly working. I mean, she sits down, yeah, and she watches series, but a bell goes off, a ding goes off, she's up and grabbing the laundry and doing this and or taking the dishwasher. And like I've already told her, I'm not doing dishes. I ain't doing laundry. Now I'll help sometimes. So anyway. This is another thing. I have so much joy in my life. I mean, you talk about deliverance. Now God has showed me, as I shared last time, to go back into and 'cause I'm working with him, go back into a sort of I really don't know how to describe it, but I just know he's working with me in reference to just guarding my heart and protecting my heart in different areas and showing me how to do what David did. Obviously not to that extreme when he came to him and his men came to the camp and all the wives and all the children and animals were gone and he paused. If David can do that. Now, obviously, Jesus Christ is greater. He had to do way greater stuff than that. David is a type of Christ, though. So I get a chance to learn from that. I get to learn what did he do in the Jesus Christ, the 40 days and 40 nights in the when he was being tempted in the wilderness. We see three temptations, okay? But I mean, there's 40 days and 40 nights now. Okay. So there must have been a lot of mental, emotional, and feelings and thoughts and control that he needed to do. He hungered for sure. You know, you try going just 3 or 4 days without eating. Some of you probably have, the younger ones, maybe even the older ones, older people here have fasted. Try doing that for a little bit, and you'll see where that plays on your mind also. So all that stuff, he set his mind like a flint, like it says in Isaiah, was prophesied about him before. Okay, the prophesied about the Messiah, because he could have easily said, hey, pound salt, I'm not doing this. You know, I know that's what I would have said. I said, hey, listen, I've read the section where it says, you know, you're all torn up and you don't look at, and you like a man and you're crucified and, you know, all this. And, you know, I've seen that. And then you have to die. I've seen all that. I think you're going to have to find somebody else. That's what I would have said. Okay. But he set his jaw like a flint. Now thank God that we don't have to go through any of that. Is there things that we have to go through? Absolutely we do, because they're things from the world. And, the scriptures that promise you this and promise you that. It doesn't say that he's the God of all comfort for just, you know, here just to say it. He has to comfort you greater than anything that's stolen, killed, or destroyed in your life. So anything, in order to be the God of all comfort, he has to be greater than anything that happens in your life. And so those are the things that were thoughts on my mind. And then God just showed me about the about David, which was absolutely fantastic. And I got to go check that scripture out. There's so many other scriptures that come to my mind right now that I'd like to go look at or go into, not even look at, but just go ahead and let it rip. Because I was talking to a buddy today about, you know, in Genesis 10, talking about, and Lawrence did it, God showed Lawrence to do a teaching on this, about how they were all with one mind and all with one heart, and God scattered them. Well, think about the body of Christ. We all get together, one heart, one mind, one body, one movement, as we move as a body of Christ together. Think about all the things that we can do. There's mighty things that are coming to this country. Okay, America, United States, call it what you want. It's just a name. But our Father is moving this over here for a reason. Lawrence is not coming for vacation. The man of God is not coming here for vacation. It ain't a vacation, okay? They might have some fun while they're here, but they're moving the word, okay? We are no different than Nepal. We're no different than India. There's none of us. He's not a respecter of persons. We have just been, I'll say I have been spoiled in the patterns and paradigms and all the fruitfulness of this country, lulled to sleep, as I used to say in my earlier time when I hear, I don't even know how long I've been with you guys, but I've been lulled to sleep. And there is the awakening, a great awakening. And they used to call that there when there was a revival coming. And I see that in this country. There's a real quietness right now, but you can see underneath it, there's bubbling up a desire, I believe, that people are, laborers are coming. People that desire, which doesn't make them any less than us, because we are laborers also. God is not a respecter of persons. We're just going to, and we're going to send them out and send them out and send them out and send them out. Or that ekloa, that throwing them out is what the teaching that God gave Lawrence, throwing the laborers out. So God threw out the laborers to me. Okay. And I'm patiently waiting. And so I'm going to close it off there. And I'll send this off to Lawrence, and I got my connect tomorrow, which is a good thing. And I followed his instruction, by the way, in reference to this fellowship. He knows what I'm talking about. And And it went well. So when you go to the man of God, you got to realize when you go to him, you're going to him for a connect. A connect sounds like, okay, you're going to just, it's like a connection, like you're meeting somewhere, like at a bar or something. No. You're going to connect to hear from your heavenly Father. That's what you're going there. They could be words of encouragement, which a lot of times they are. They could be words of little nudging, like, hey, you need to really do this. They could be words of reproof. They could be words of correction, words of, and to instruct us in righteousness. It's doctrine, reproof, doctrine, correction, doctrine, instruction, and correction, for instruction in righteousness, however that goes. But that's why I go there. And yeah, and when you do go, just for me, I have to be humble and meek, and I get a chance to share my heart and unburden myself to the man of God, and then I'm able to get instruction to keep moving forward, to keep moving forward. So there's a lot of, we are so blessed to be where we're at currently. And great things are happening. And I see it, I can see it, and I can spiritually feel it. And not only in my life, but I can spiritually feel it in the things that are going along. Even the current events, you can spiritually see and feel things going on. No idea when Christ is coming back, but a great thing to hold in your heart is the return of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. First thing in the morning, last thing before you go to night, go to bed, or sometime during the day, Christ is coming back. My Lord and Savior is coming back. My Lord and Savior is coming back. He's definitely coming back. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is coming back, and there's nothing that can stop him. Not one single thing. He's coming back. When he doesn't even know when he's coming back. So it could be 1,000 years from now, 5,000 years, 100 years. It could be tomorrow. It could be 10 years or whatever. But he's definitely coming back. So we've got great hope. We've got great power and might through our Father completed work that Christ Jesus did for our Father to enable us to walk like our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. So we walk like our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. That is our goal. That is to put on the new man, to reckon the old man dead, to keep moving forward. Never giving up. Keep growing. Even if you make mistakes, even if you do miss the mark, keep moving forward. It's okay. It's okay. These are just old man nature patterns in our lives. It's okay. It's all right. Just keep moving forward. We got this. God's got this. It just takes us to use our free will and to move forward. And to be humble and meek to our Father and go and get direction and correction. So I love you guys, and I'll close off with this, and I'm going to pray. Father God, I want to thank you right now for the South Carolina meeting. I thank you for that. I thank you also for the safe trip and the flight and any finances that are needed for that coming through. I thank you also for just all the believers that are going, that they get all their needs met. I thank you that I get mine met. I'm not even sure. I know some of them. I don't know all of them, but I thank you that you give Lawrence guidance and direction to give me wisdom and guidance in those areas. I thank you for all of us. I thank you for just a great night tonight, a good night's sleep, and a great day at work tomorrow in the name of Christ Jesus. Love you guys.